Today's shiur is Masechet Ksuvos Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. V'loy memeilim and meloy sichu koyf v'shamet mina. As we have been learning in the previous shiur, the Torah seems to teach us the same concept a number of times, and that is that if someone did an avera for which there's a chi of misa, pardoning him by paying a fine is not acceptable. One pasuk the Gemara quoted was Leisichu Kaifer Lenefesh Ritzayach. Another pasuk the Gemara quoted was Leisichu Kaifer Lonus Al Ir Miklotai. And the Gemara explained that one pasuk was referring to when one killed Bemezid, that he's Mechuyiv Misa, and a financial pardon won't do. The other pasuk is referring to somebody who killed Bishagig, that he's obligated to go to Golis, and again, a financial pardon is not acceptable. And then at the end of the shiur, we discussed another pasuk. The pasuk says, Kol cheirim asher yechrim an adam lo yipodeh. And the Tanakhama learned pshat in that pasuk is that if someone was sentenced to death, and as he's being taken to be killed, someone says, Erchoyalai, we know that every person, based on their age and their gender, has a value that the Torah gives them. And somebody says, Erko Eli, I want to give the Erech of that person to Hegdish. So the Tanakhama said it's meaningless, because the person has no value. He's on the way to being killed. Everybody agrees, the Rishonim explained, that if someone were to say, Domim Olai, his value, that's certainly a meaningless statement, because he has no Domim. Domim we value, we assess how much he would be sold as a slave. No one's buying someone who's about to be killed. Rav Chananya ben Akavya disagreed. And Chananya ben Akavya said that although saying Domim Olai would be a meaningless statement, he said saying Erkoy Olai is a meaningful statement, because since everybody in the Torah, as we just said, has an Erech, the fact that he was sentenced to death is not really relevant, and he could have an Erech. So the Gemara explained, according to the Tanakhama, the Pasuk is teaching us that din. But according to Rav Chananya ben Akavya, that Erechoy Olai is a meaningless statement, what do we learn from the Pasuk of Kol Cheirim Asher Yechrim? So the Gemara said, the Pasuk is coming to teach us, and this is the way Rashi explained the Gemara, that it makes a difference if he did a grave Avera, Avera Chamura, versus an Avera Kala. Rashi described what is the difference between Avera Chamura and Avera Kala. Rashi said Avera Chamura is an Avera that if it's done b'shogeg, there is no opportunity to bring a Karban Chatas, whereas if it was done b'mezid, where Avera Kala is, if somebody did the Avera b'shogeg, he can bring a Karban Chatas. That's a brief summary of yesterday's Amud. Ask the Gemara, why do we need a separate Pasuk to distinguish between an Avera Chamura and Avera Kala? If we already have the two previous psukim that teach us both when somebody killed Bemezid or when he killed Bishagig, a financial fine won't do it, so then that includes all Averis. Why would I need the Pasuk of Kol Cheirim to teach me that there's a difference between Avera Chamura and Avera Kala? Ask the Gemara. This lesson that the Gemara is teaching, trying to say we learn from the Pasuk of Kol Cheirim isn't that already included in what was taught by the other psukim that were quoted in the Gemara? That the lesson is, don't take money in the place of his chi of misa. So we're back to where we began. According to Chananya ben Akavya, Kol Cheirim Lamali, what do I learn from the pasuk of Kol Cheirim? Amar Rami Bechama, Itzrich. The lesson of that pasuk is Sath Gadata Khamina Hani Mila Hecha Dahar Guderich Aliyah Shlay Nitna Shigosal Kapara Ava Har Guderich Yiridai the Nitna Shigosal Kapara Eman Nishkum Imanim Neven Niftere Kamash Malan. And we're going to explain the Gemara as a combination of the way the Taisvis and the Shittim Kubetzis help us understand the Gemara. But first, a word of introduction. The Gemara Masechta Makkos teaches us, as we just mentioned briefly, that if someone kills Bishagig, he's Mechuyiv Golos. But the Gemara makes a distinction where how the person was killed. Was he killed Derech Yerida? that the perpetrator who killed him fell or dropped an object on the victim, versus where he was killed derech aliyah, where something was thrown up. And the halacha is that only someone who killed derech yirida is mechuyev golus, whereas if somebody killed derech aliyah, there is no chiyev golus. And like Tosfos says, the Gemara is not focusing at this point which is a bigger aveira, killing derech yirida or killing derech aliyah. What the Gemara is trying to say is, since we see the halacha is different for derech yirida versus derech aliyah, the Gemara is suggesting that we need two separate psukim for those two types of situations. Therefore, we can reconcile the three psukim. One pasuk is referring to all chayve mises that are not pardoned with a fine. And the next two psukim, one is referring where one killed derech yirida, and one is referring to a situation when one killed derech aliyah, and teaching us that in both of those cases, a fine won't do it. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Hamritana Dvei Chizkiyah Nafka. We've been learning so many times in our perek, back to Daf Lamed Hey, that Rabbi Tana Dvei Chizkiyah taught us, the Tana Dvei Chizkiyah, Maka Adam and Maka Behema, the Torah compares when someone does damage or kills a human to where he does damage to an animal. Ma mak behema, as the Gemara Baba Kama teaches us, lo chalak debay, ben shagig lemeza ben miskav l'shem miskavin, all the halachas that apply, there's no difference if it was done b'shagig ben mezid, intentionally or unintentionally, ben derech yirida or derech aliyah, lefartre mamon, one can't use that as an excuse to be excluded from having to pay a fine, el chayvim mamon, adam mu'ud l'aylam, one of the principles that we learn in Masechta Baba Kama. Af maka adam, similarly, when one hit kills a person, there is no difference. Like tachlik ba ben shagig lemezid, ben miskavin l'shem miskavin, l'derech yirida l'derech aliyah, t'l chayvim mamon, to say that he pays a fine. El lefaytri mamon, under all circumstances, he's exempt from a fine because he's mechuyev golus or misa. So what the Gemara is saying is, suggesting that we need two psukim, one pasuk that teaches the halacha of derech yirida and one pasuk that teaches the halacha of derech aliyah makes no sense, because the Tana Dvei Chizkiyah already taught us that there is no difference as far as these halachas are concerned between derech yirida and derech aliyah. So we go back to our original question: what will Rav Chananya ben Akavya use the pasuk of Chacherim to teach us? Says the Gemara: El Amar Rami Bechama Itzrich Sakadat Chamina Hani Mila Heicha De Simas Einoi. For Hargabai, a person blinded his colleague, and in the act of damaging his eye, he killed him. So it was one act. So there, I would say, certainly Kimle B'Derabim Nei applies, and he's Mechuyiv Misa, and he's exempt from having to pay any mamon. Aval Heicha De Simas Einoi for Harg V'Davar Acher. What would be the situation if somebody blinded somebody else, and in the course of blinding him, that didn't kill him? He at the same time stabbed him. So there I would consider that we should have, that in that case, since the death and the blinding weren't necessarily connected to each other, I would say that we should make him pay. And besides his chi of misa, that's what the pasuk called Chayim comes to teach us, that even in those circumstances, we say Kimlei Midrabanei. The Shita discusses that if he blinded him and killed him, certainly why do we need, why would there be a Havamina that he should be Mechuyev two punishments? He killed him. So the Shita explains what the Gemara here means to say is that he didn't die instantaneously. He first blinded him, and ultimately the person died. So there, says the Gemara, I would say, we say Kimlei Midrabanei because he ultimately died. But in a situation where the two acts were totally separate, I would say that we don't apply the concept of Kimlei B'Derabanei. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. The Pasuk of Kol Chayim teaches us that we do apply it. Amalei Rava, Hanami Mi'idach Tana Becheskia Nafka. That also we learned, because the Gemara said, the Tana Becheskia, Ayin Tachas Ayin, V'loi Ayin V'Nefesh Tachas Ayin. And there are two ways in the Rishonim how to explain this Gemara. But first we have to quote what the Gemara tells us, This is one of the most complicated psukim in the Torah, because we take a pasuk whose meaning is so very simple and change it. The Torah says that if one blinds his colleague, so the Torah says ayin tachas ayin. You don't have to be a very big linguist to understand what that means. Ayin tachas ayin means an eye for an eye. But anyone who ever learned in a yeshiva knows that that's not how we explain ayin tachas ayin. We explain ayin tachas ayin that you don't have an eye poked out if someone else blinded or hurt his chaver's eye. What it means is that he pays his value of the eye. And the formula of how to figure that out, we'll learn in Mitzvah Masech Babakama. Why? Ein mikro yetz midei pshutoi. Isn't Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, Ayin Tachas Ayin? Why does the Gemara change it? So the Gemara Masech Babakama that Pei Dalet addresses the question. And the Gemara says, as we know, in Hilchos Shabbos this is very relevant, Shureka da Ayin Nebeli Batalya. The eyes in Halacha are considered connected to the heart. So the Halacha says to us, it's certainly possible, maybe more than possible, likely, that if one were to blind someone's eye, it may affect that he'll die. So if we'll say, ayin tachas ayin, means that we should kill the person, we should poke out his eye, because he damaged someone else's eye, what we end up, we very likely may end up doing is killing him. And that would be ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. So the Torah says that we don't do. So says Tosfos. So now we understand that when the Torah says, this is the way Tosfos explains, and then I'll tell you how the Ritva explains. Tosfos says the words ayin tachas ayin means that we only focus on the eye, not on the eye and the nefesh. Similarly, when the Torah uses the words nefesh tachas nefesh, what the Torah is saying is that if someone killed someone else, the only thing you take is nefesh. Nisa, killing him, and not mammon. So I don't need this pasuk of Kol Chayrim to teach us that if I killed him and at the same time I blinded him, I don't have to pay mamnim. That's already included in nefesh takas nefesh, because nefesh means only nefesh and not nefesh for ayin. That's how Tosfos learns. The Ritva, and that's how some Rishonim say, is Pshat and Rashi say, we explain what the first ayin teaches us. Ayin takas ayin, that loy ayin the nefesh takas ayin. But what I learned with the second ayin? The second ayin teaches us that if it's the eye that was blinded, then we don't kill him. But if he was killed, then we don't take for the ayin, we only take for the nefesh. The same result. Ritva makes a point that actually it's a Tosfos earlier in the parak. The Ritva says that if someone killed his colleague, he's a roidif. And the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that a roidif is mischai benafshai. A right, if we see somebody looking to kill someone else, we're allowed to kill that person. So he's anyway mechuyu misa. So why do we need these psukim? We should say kimayid rabbinah because he's a roidif. So the Ritva answers, and as I said, Tosfos quotes this concept earlier in the parak. Not every roidif is mechuyu misa. The halacha that a roidif is mechuyu misa is if that's the only way to prevent him from killing the person. But if it's nitala at siloi ba'achas me'evarif, if we could prevent the killing by just wounding him, then he's not mechuyav misa, so that's why the Gemara doesn't follow that track. So again, troubled, according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi, what are we going to do with this pasuk? El amar vashi itzrach. Tzalka da'at ha'chamina hoil v'chiddishu. Knas we know is a chiddish, because knas is not something that's paid for compensation. Knas is a fine. Shechit shetar b'knas. And I would think, therefore, afgav the mikdal, even in a situation where the person's mechuyev misa, still, mishalim, he should have to pay the knas, kamash malon, that he doesn't have to pay, we say, kimle b'drabbanei. That's what we learn from the pasuk of Kol Chayrim. Ask Tosfos, how could the Gemara have a havamina that that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that even in the situation of knas, we say, kimle b'drabbanei. And we learn from Kol Chayrim this din. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah we just learned on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, is the source that teaches us that even by Knas, we say Kimoy with Rabbanei. But the Mishnah doesn't quote the Pasuk of Kol Chayrim. The Mishnah quotes the Pasuk of Imla Yasan. So how does the Mishnah quote the wrong Pasuk? So how could the Gemara even have such a Havamina? Tosfos' question. So Tosfos says that our Mishnah is not just focused on the case of Misa and Knas. It's speaking about the general concept of Kamle B'drabbanei. And the Pasuk from Lo Yi'asen does shed light on this concept of Kamle B'drabbanei. And therefore, even though that Pasuk is maybe not the Pasuk that refers to the case that the Mishnah is discussing, it's still appropriate for the Mishnah to mention it. The other Teretz Taisus gives is that this whole question, as we will see in a moment, as we explained in our introductory remarks, is only going according to Rav Chanan ben Akavya. According to the Tanakhama, Kol Chayim isn't the problem, because it comes to teach us, as we said, the halacha of somebody saying Erkoi of the person who's being taken to be killed. Our Mishnah is going according to that Tana. The Ritva says another Teretz, which is similar to the first Teretz of Taisus. The Ritva says that when the Mishnah quotes Psukim, the Mishnah isn't always exact. As long as the Pasuk that's being quoted is somewhat related to the concept that the Mishnah is trying to teach us, that's already acceptable, that should be the Pasuk that the Mishnah is quoting. As to Gemara, this Teretz is fine if we apply the concept of Kimay B'drabbanei B'Knas. However, L'Rava D'Omer Chidishu Shechitcha Torah B'Knas. According to Rava, who told us on Daflam Adalan and Daflam Adhei, that Afgav the Mikta Mishalim, that by Knas, we don't apply the concept of the Kamle B'drabbanei. And he would be Mechuyiv Misa. And he would be Mechuyiv Mamon. So the question is, Hai Kol Chayim Ayavadlei? That can't be what Kol Chayim is coming to teach us. Answers the Gemara, Rava would have to say, Sabla Katanakam de Rechananya Ben Akavya, he would have to explain, like the Tanakama, that the Pasuk of Kol Chayim is coming to teach us that if somebody says Erkoy Olai of somebody being taken to death, it's a meaningless statement. He'll have no choice. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, according to the Tanakama that uses this Pasuk of Erkoy Olai to teach us Erkoy Olai, if he doesn't agree with Rava, where will he know that even by Knas we don't apply the concept of Kimle B'drabbanei? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that this Tana will have to hold that Edom Zomim, the Mammon that Edom Zomim Amachuyev, is not Mammon. It's a Knas. And as we learned at great length early in our Perek, that by Edom Zomim we apply the concept of Kimle B'drabbanei, so we already have a source that we say Kimle B'drabbanei even by Knas. Rav Moshe Sternbuch makes a very interesting observation. He says the following. We discussed in the previous year, the Gemara says it actually, that even though we're applying the concept of Kimle B'drabbanei, that means if somebody is Mechuyiv Misa and he's Mechuyiv Mammon, so Kimle B'drabbanei says that he's not Mechuyiv Mammon. That's only if we follow the strict letter of the law. Abalotzis L'day Shemayim, if I wounded somebody, I have to compensate. Moreover, the halach is, let's say the victim is Typhus. He grabs my assets. The halach is, he doesn't have to give back. Says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, there's a difference between Knas and Mammon. By Mammon, the halach is, the Lotzis L'day Shemayim, I should pay the Mammon. By Mammon, the halach is, that if the victim is Typhus it, he's entitled to hold on to it. However, by Knas, if the victim would grab the Knas, he isn't entitled to keep it, and I'm not even obligated to pay the Knas. Continues the Mishnah. Narash in his Arsav in his Garsha. We have a Nara who was Mureses and then got divorced. So we have Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef Glili Oyma Einlo Knas, she's not entitled to Knas, and we'll explain Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion at great length in the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem. Rekiva Yesh L'Knas, she is entitled to Knas, for Knas L'Atzma. So to understand the Mishnah, if the Nara is Mureses, she's not entitled to Knas, because it's a situation of Kimle B'drabbanei. Because we know, and the Gemara will say it on the base, that a Nara, if someone has relations with a Nara Murasa, he's Mechuyiv Misa. So as we just learned a moment ago, there'll be the concept of Kimle B'drabbanei, and there won't be Chiv Knas. So our Mishnah speaks about a Nara Shinis Arsa and this Garsha. She got divorced, so she's no longer Nara Murasas, and that's why she's not entitled to Knas. The Rishaitim say that the same halacha would apply to Nara Shinizgarsha Venis Armala. Again, the point is that she's no longer a Mureses, but she still is a Nara. Rashi also points out, we learned at the first mission of our Perek that there are cases where there are women who are Chayvei Krisis and are entitled to Knas. Eshes Ochiv, Eshes Oviv, these are all cases of Chiv Koris. Now we could understand that Mishnah. Good. The question is, if she's married to your brother, she's not a psula. She's married. So, says Rashi, the first Mishnah of our Perek is going according to Bekiva. And how is she your brother's wife? She's Meresis to him. And then she was Nizgasha. And the first Mishnah of the Perek follows the opinion of Akiva that a girl who was Meresis and Nizgasha is still entitled to Knas. There's Machloikis, Rambam, and Rosh. Everyone agrees that this woman who was violated, Narath Ashram Nizgasha, is entitled to Boishas Begam. Because that's compensation. And we'll discuss that in Mitzvah more tomorrow, Shir. The question is, Machloikis, Rambam, and Rosh, who would get that Boishas Begam? According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, everybody agrees that we'll go to her. The question is, according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that it goes La'atzma, the Knas, at least according to the Mishnah, who gets the Knas? Is it her father? Or is just like she gets the Knas, she would also get the Boishas Begam? The Rosh says that she gets the Boishas Begam. The Rambam says that her father gets the Boishas Begam. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yosef Glili, what does Rabbi Yosef Glili hold, that if a girl was Narav in the Zgarsha, she's no longer entitled to Knas? Amakra, Ashaloya Rosa. Her Arsa, he explains the Pasuk quite simply. As soon as the girl became a Mereses, even though she's no longer Mereses now, makes no difference, and look, Knas, she's no longer entitled to Knas. Rabbi Kiva says, Ashaloya Rosa, Lavia. Her Arsa, L'atzma. And we need to understand Rabbi Kiva well. What Rabbi Kiva is saying is as follows, that while the girl is not Mereses, it goes to her father. While she's Mereses, it goes to her herself. That's how Rabbi Kiva learns, which is different than what Rabbi Kiva learned in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva said it always goes to her. Then we'll discuss in Amar Beis. El Ma'ata, so what is Rabbi Kiva doing? The Pasuk in describing the woman who's entitled to class says that Shaloya Rasa, that she's not a Mereses, and Rabbi Kiva goes and changes the pshat in the pasuk, and he says that that's not what Ashaloi Rasa means. So ask the Gemara, if we're changing pshat in the pasuk, so change all the words of the pasuk. El Me'ata, when the Torah says that one of the characteristics of this girl has to be that she's a Nara and not a Bergeris, we should say, you know what the Torah means? It doesn't mean to exclude her from Knas. It means that it doesn't go to her father, Hachanami, the Latzma. What it means is it goes to her. B'sula v'lai b'ula. The same thing when the Torah said that she must be a b'sula. Don't say that it means that if she's a b'ula, she's entirely not entitled to Knas. Hachanami, the latzma. Say that she's entitled to Knas, but instead of the Knas going to her father, it goes to her. If we're changing Poshit Shad and the Pasik, so change it all the way. That's the Gemara's question. And the Shita asks, why does the Gemara say in such a long way? The Gemara should have just said, Alma'ata. Nara v'loi begeris, b'sula v'loi be'ula, la'atzma. So the Shita says that b'sula v'loi be'ula, we could understand why she's not entitled to knas. The Gemara is actually going to say this. Because a b'sula and be'ula, there's a physical change in the woman. But a nara begeris is the same woman. Nothing physically changed in her. So I would say that she should be entitled to the knas. That's why the Gemara separates the questions. Amlach Rabbi Kiva, sends Rabbi Kiva, we can't compare it. Hai lai rosa m'boi lai l'chatanya. The shalai rosa should not be taken as Pasha Pshat, that it means that if she's a Mereses, she's no longer entitled to Knas. Rather, it's needed to teach us what the Braisa teaches us. Ashalai Rasa, Prat, Lenara, Shinis Arsav, and Nizgarsha, Shein Le Knas, Diver Rav Yosef Glili. Rav Yosef Glili's opinion is that once she's Mereses, she's no longer entitled to Knas. Rav Kiva Miyesh Le Knas, the Knas Lavia. She is entitled to Knas, and the Knas goes to her father. And Rav Kiva explains his opinion. Vadin Noisen. Just like a father has the right to be Mekadosher, and the money realized for that Kedushin belongs to him, her father also is entitled to Knas. Even though she became Mereses and Mergershes, as long as she's a Nara, it goes to her father. It goes to a father. So what he's saying is that the pasuk of Shaloi Arasa is teaching us, is not to be taken literally. On the contrary, the pasuk comes to teach us that she does get knas, and it goes to her father. So the obvious question, ask the Pnei Yeshua the obvious question. The pasuk says a Shaloi Arasa. Rav Kiva says, I need the pasuk to tell me that because I know the kesef kedushin goes to a father, so too this kesef goes to a father. What does that mean? Asked the Pnei Yeshua. If I know that she's entitled to kesef, so then I could say that since I see the father gets the kesef kedushin, the father gets this money also. But I haven't proven that she's entitled to knas at all, that we should take it to the following step and say it goes to the father. Answers the Pnei Yeshua. That since the Torah uses the word Ashalai Rasa, both by Anusa and Mefuta, as we're going to learn in a moment, if the point of the Pasuk is to teach us that she's not entitled to Knas at all, why did the Torah have to use it both by Oinus and Mefuta? It's superfluous. It must be to teach us that she is entitled to Knas, and once we know she's entitled to Knas, Svara tells us it goes to the father. Ask the Gemara, in came Matam Aloim Ashalai Rasa. So now we have a question. We're taking the words of a Shalai Rasa, according to Bekiva, and not defining them literally. Because we're saying that a girl who was Mu'reses is entitled to Knas. So what are those words there for? Imke Matam Aloimer. What are they there for? A Shalai Rasa. Answer the Gemara, Mufna Lahaka Shalai Lodim and Gzeri Shava. We're learning Gzeri Shava. Nemakana Shalai Rasa. The Torah uses the words a Shalai Rasa regarding an Anusa. Nem Lahalan by Mefuta, a Shalai Rasa. Ma'akanun. The Torah tells us both by an anusa and a mefuta, a fine must be paid. But the Torah leaves it somewhat ambiguous. By the anusa, the Torah says 50 coins are paid, but the Torah doesn't describe those coins. By mefuta, the Torah describes the coins. Kesef shkolim, silver coins. But the Torah doesn't tell us how many. So the Gemara says, Gzeri Shava, Shalai Rasa, Shalai Rasa, to teach us that by both of them, it's 50 silver coins. Ask the Ritva, if we now have a Gzeris Shava between Anusa and Mefuta, then we should apply all the dinim of Anusa to Mefuta, and to Mefuta to Anusa. And moreover, he says, there's a lot of redundancy. The same words appear in the parish of Anusa and the parish of Mefuta. Why do I need to mention them twice? Learn a Gzeris Shava. So Ritva has a very big yesod in Hilchas Gzeris Shava. He says a Gzeres Shava could only clarify an ambiguity. Here the Torah uses the word nun, 50, I don't know 50 what. Here the Torah says Kesef Shkolim, doesn't tell me how many. So the Gzeres Shava could come and clarify that in both cases it means 50 Shkoli Kesef. But when the Torah says something explicitly, that Gzeres Shava cannot abrogate, and that's why we have words in both cases. Ask the Gemara, and this is the way the Shita asked the Gemara. We were saying now that the words Ashalai Rasa that appear both in the parasha of Anusa and in the parasha of Mefuta are here to teach us the Gzeri Shava. Ask Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva, my chazad Ashalai Rasa, the Gzeri Shava. And we take the word Besula literally, and we say that she has to be a Besula, and she's not a Beula, and if she's a Beula, she's not entitled to the Knas. Maybe say just the opposite. Aim a Besula the Gzeri Shava. V'shaloi rasa prat l'narish in this arsav in this garsha. Why are we picking the words of v'shaloi rasa to teach us the gzeri shava and say that we shouldn't take them literally and take the word besula literally? Maybe do just the opposite. Say the words of v'shaloi rasa to be taken literally and not the word besula. Ask the shita, and if we would have done that, the Gemara would have asked the opposite question. So answers the shita, very nice teretz. We know that every word of the Torah is holy. Here we're taking three words in the Torah, Ashaloya Rasa, and changing that from Pasha Pshat. If we take the word Basula, it's only one word. Isn't it better to change just one word than to change three words? That's part of the Gemara's Kasha, says the Shita. Ask Taisus and all the other Rishonim that we know one of the fundamental rules of Hilchas Gzeres Shava is that Ein Adam Don Gzeres Shava Me'atzmai, Elm Ken Kibble Me'Rabbeisav. A person can't make up his own Gzeres Shava. We can't go sit here today and take two words in the Torah and learn a Gzeres Shava. It has to be something that we have a tradition going back from our Rebbe's back to Sinai. So what's the Gemara's question? Tik Besul over Ashalai Rasa. You can't make up your own Gzeres Shava. So Rishonim answer that they had a Kabbalah that there's a Gzeres Shava, that there's a common denominator between Arusa and Mefuta. They didn't know exactly which words were the Gzeres Shava. So came Rabbi Kiva and said, you know what the words are? Ashalai Rasa. Ask the Gemara, why you say that? Maybe the words are Besula. That's one teretz to Rishonim give. Another teretz to Rishonim give is that we find in other places in Shas, in Masechta Kedushin, that there is a gzeirah shava between the word basula basula in other places. So since we see that we have a tradition that we learn a gzeirah shava basula basula, ask the Gemara here too, we should use those two words as a gzeirah shava. Answers the Gemara, mistabra ashalai rosal gzeirah shava. It makes more sense to use the words ashalai rosal gzeirah shava. Shireni karba nara basula. Because we still can keep the word nara, take it literal, take the word basula literal, and just change the shalai rasa. Ask the Gemara, what did you accomplish? Perhaps say, adrab basula l'gzeri shava, shareini karba shalai rasa. The Gemara says, let's keep the word shalai rasa with its literal meaning, and say basula sif l'gzeri shava. Answers the Gemara, mistabra ha ishta nigufa v'la ishta nigufa. The Gemara says, it makes more sense, to say that the word basula should be taken literally than to say the word ashalai rasa should be taken literally. Why? Because a woman, from becoming a basula to ba'ula, had a physical change. So it makes sense that the dinim, the halachas, for this woman changes. A woman who had erusin, and particularly now she's no longer mureses, is the same woman. So if I have to pick words not to take literally, says Rabbi Akiva, makes more sense to say that the words of Shloi Rosa were not to be taken literally. Ask the Gemara. According to Rabbi Akiva, we needed the words of Shloi Rosa to teach us the Gzeir Shava between Anusa and Mefuta to describe and define. But according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that takes the words of Shloi Rosa literally, how will he know how much is defined? Rabbi Yosef Glila Haglili Hai Svar Menole answers the Gemara Nafkalim of the Tanya. Kesef Yishgal Kamaya Absulais. It's a pasuk that the Torah uses regarding Mefuta. It's a Gemara we learned many times, even at the beginning of the Masechta. Shehei Ze Kamaya Absulais or Maya Absulais Kazeh. So from there we know that we compare the 50 and the Shikli Kesef. Ask the Gemara Kasha the Rekiva the Rekiva. As we pointed out when we began the Gemara, our Mishnah said that according to Rekiva, the girl who is Nis'arsav and Nis'garsha is entitled to Knas, the Knosal Atzma. The Brice of Rekiva said, Knosal Avia. So how do we reconcile these two opinions of Rekiva? So I saw the Shita asks Gavalda Gakasha, why did the Gemara wait for an Omid to ask this Kasha? As soon as we learned at the beginning of the Shir, where Rekiva says that the Knas goes to the father, the Gemara should have right away asked the question, how could you say it goes to the father? The Mishnah says, Knas alatzma. Answers the Shita, Kval de Gateretz. He says like this, if we have a stira between a Mishnah and a Braisa, the Gemara could give a very simple teretz. As we know throughout Shas, Braises are considered less authoritative than Mishnayis. So the Gemara could have said, the Braisa is not authoritative, we only follow what the Mishnah says. But now, after we've spent the Amid Gemara explaining this Braisa, so it's obvious that this Braisa is an authentic Braisa. So now that we're taking the Braisa seriously, we have a Kasha the Rekiva, the Rekiva. Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoim, I leave the Rekiva. There's a Machlokes Tanoim, what the Rekiva's opinion is. One is that it goes to Har, and one it goes to the Father. Now, in approaching the next lines of the Gemara, there's an obvious question. The Gemara's question is obvious. We know, all of us learned in yeshiva, ein mikro yoytzim dei pshutoi. There's a pasuk pshat in a pasuk. The Torah uses the words of shalai rasa, which means that if she was mureses, the halachas change. Rav Akiva seems to be ignoring that pasuk. Ask the Gemara, bishlam Rav Akiva the Misnisen, if we follow the opinion of Rav Akiva as quoted in the Mishnah, le'asik zeir shavim afkel krom mipashtei. The pasuk still teaches us something. What does the pasuk teaches us? That the girl who was mureses, her knas doesn't go to her father, it goes to her. So the pasuk is teaching us two dinim. It's teaching us, number one, that the knas goes to her, and then it's also used for gzeir shava. And in fact, the Rishonim ask, how could one pasuk teach us two dinim? So Rishonim say that since it's so many words, ashaloya rasa, so we can learn gzeir shava. Other Rishonim say that maybe the Shalai Rasa by Anusa is no longer superfluous, but the Shalai Rasa by Mefut is superfluous, so I can learn the Gzeir Shava. Eller Rekiva de Braisa. According to Rekiva de Braisa, a girl who is Mureses from Nisgarsha is treated no differently than any other Nara. And she is entitled to Knas, and the Knas goes to the father. So what are we going to do with the Pashto words of a Shalai Rasa? Ela Rekiva de Braisa. Ashi Gzer Shova, Umafkum Pashtur Legamri, we just ignore the Pashat Pshat and the Pasik? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Nachman Bayitzchuk, Kribe Shalai Rusa. What it means is that she's not currently in Arusa. If she's currently in Arusa, she doesn't get Knas. Ask the Gemara, I need a Pasik to tell us that? Arusa Baskilihi. Of course she's not entitled to Knas. Kimrei Bedrabimenei. There's a Chiv Skila. So the fly asks a question. Who has the Chiv Skila? The man who violated her. He's Chayiv Misa, he's Chayiv Skila, and that's why he's not Chayiv Knas. So what does the Gemara say? Baskilihi. So the Gemara said, Baskilihi. Who? He's the one that's Mechuyiv Skila. So the fly says, Gevaldig Teretz. What's the halacha if one violates a girl who's Mereses, but she's a Ketana? Then he says, there's no Chayiv Skila. The Chayiv Skila is only when she's a Nara. That's why we say Baskilihi. We have to look at how old she is. Because if she's not a Nara, there will be no Chayiv Skila. Says the Gemara. So why do we need the Pasuk according to Rekiva to tell us that? Answers the Gemara. Salkatat Chamina, a concept that we've learned earlier in the Shir. However, Chiddush is a Chichatar B'Knas. The Knas is a Chiddush. And therefore we would say, perhaps, Afgav the Mikdal, even though this person is going to be killed, he should still have to pay the Knas, Mishalom. That's what the Pasuk Pshat is teaching us. Ask the Gemara, Ula Ravada Mechidish Yushachitar B'Knas. According to Rav's opinion, that by Knas, the Haloch is, the Afgav the Mikdal, even if the perpetrator is going to be killed, still Mishalmi has to pay Knas. We don't apply the concept of Kimlein B'Rabbanei. So we're back to where we started. Why will the, according to the Braisa, the part of Pshat of the words, Asher Lo Arusa, Michael Meimer? What are they going to teach us? Says the Gemara, Sovla Rabbi Kiva de Misnisen. Rava will have no choice but to hold like Rabbi Kiva of the Mishnah, that if somebody was Ma'anis, a Narush in this Arsav in this Garsha, the Knas goes to a father, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Knas Levi, who's entitled to the Knas? Levio, V'yeshem L'atzma. L'atzma Mai. Ask the Gemara, why is she entitled to Knas? Omer, how we know that the Knas always goes to the father. Omer, Rav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, this price is referring to a situation, but Nara, Shinis Arshav and Nisgarsha, Askinon, and the Machloikas of the Braisa, the Kamifki, the Plukti, the Rekiva, the Masnitz, the Rekiva, the Braisa. The two opinions in this Braisa represent the two opinions that we've been learning today. The opinion that holds that Knosel Atzma represents the opinion as stated by Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah. And the opinion that says that the Knas goes to Aviyah represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva as stated in the Braisa. After the Gerushin.
He does it after the Gerushin.
Right, she's still a Nara. She wants Mereses, and then the Mereses was terminated. The Gerushin was terminated. Well, if he does it while she's in Arusa, then it's a Chiv Skila.
Then she's in Skarsha, and now the child has what I'm saying.
Well, retroactively?
Yeah.